Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Wommen, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching, focusing on being led by the Holy Spirit, was recorded at a recent Gospel Truth seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You cannot perceive the things of God. You can't figure it out with just your intellect. But then the very next verse, look at this in verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. This isn't saying that you can't know the things of God. It's saying that you can't know the things of God with just your brain. You can't just figure everything out in your intellect. Oh, I wished I had words to say. I wished I could somehow or another get this across better than what I'm doing. But it's amazing how many people are not using their heart. God can speak to you through your heart. You can know things in your heart that you can't know with your brain. Every one of us have experienced this. I bet you that every person has come to some kind of a decision and you've had to make a choice and you really kind of felt like you should go this direction, but everybody else and circumstances and wisdom dictated that you had to go this direction. And so you do it. You make the choice that it looks like a responsible adult should make. And when everything falls apart, you say, I knew I shouldn't have done that. I knew I should have gone the other direction. Has anybody else ever done that? Just a few of you. I'm surprised. I would have thought everybody in here had that happen. You know, I remember a time when I was pastoring a church, and there was a couple in the church that accepted Jamie and me. They were one of the few that accepted. This is where we saw a man raised from the dead. They had been taught that all of the faith-type teaching that I do was of the devil, and they had actually burned the books and tapes of all faith preachers. And I got a meeting set up. I went there, saw a man raised from the dead, and when that happened, what could they say? You know, they couldn't say that this doesn't work. It did work. And so I moved there and became the pastor. But they hated me because, man, I was messing with their theology. And I got criticized and I got kidnapped, threatened to be killed. I had a lot of things happen to me while I was there. But anyway, one of the things that happened, this one older couple accepted us. And they just blessed us, and they were very nice to us. And the elders of that church were custom combiners, and they followed the wheat harvest, and so they were gone a large part of the year. And they felt like there needed to be an elder to stay there and oversee things while they were gone. So they wanted to make this older couple in the church elders. And you know what? They were the only people who really accepted us. They were the only ones who befriended us. Everything in the natural looked good. There was no reason not to make them an elder, except on the inside, I said, no, I do not want them to be an elder. And so the other elder, well, why? What have you got against them? Well, I hadn't got anything against them. It's just, I don't think it's the right thing. I just don't feel right in my heart. And they said, so tell us what's wrong. I couldn't tell them what was wrong. I couldn't mention a thing. And so after a week or two, they just kept pressuring me. And finally, I said, make them an elder. Set them in as an elder because I didn't have a logical reason. And so I went ahead and did it. Did you know that they left the next week? And within 1 week, this guy accused me of stealing money from the church. I didn't even take a salary. I didn't have any money. So I don't know how he came off with that. But he accused me of stealing money. He accused me of committing adultery. He accused me of getting drunk. He accused me of doing drugs. He just lied about everything. And I mean, this guy turned into Satan personified. And as soon as he did that, I felt in my heart, I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. And yet I went ahead and did it. And you know what? Right then, I made a decision that if I don't feel good about it, I don't care whether I'm right or wrong, I will not violate that again. And I can't say I've done it perfectly, but I can say I've made a lot of decisions when it looked like I should have done something, but I just didn't feel right about it. And if I don't feel right about it, I will not do it. And it has saved my bacon hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. So the point I'm making is that, see, this, when it says that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, this isn't saying that you can't know God and that you can't understand these things. It's just saying you can't do it with just brain power. And our generation, our society today has exalted intellect, has exalted sophistication, science. And if it can't be proven in a test tube, then there are people who will sit there and reject it. But I'm telling you that God made you to be more than just intellect. There is some people would call it intuition. I hate to use that word because some people use that in a way to describe something that I'm not talking about. But there is an intuitive knowledge, an ability to know things in your heart by the Holy Spirit that goes beyond your intellect. And if you aren't drawing on that, well, then you're going to miss the things of God, because God doesn't reveal things to your brain. He reveals them to your heart. Now, I'm going to explain that more during this series. And I tell you, this will be something that will really help you to understand the things of God. But over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when it says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, this isn't saying that you can't know the things of God. It's not like in the Old Testament that God's ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts than our thoughts. That's true about a carnal person that doesn't have the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit comes, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by the Holy Spirit. You can know the things of God. You can have the heart of God. You should understand the things of God. Over in, Ephesians chapter 5. I forget the exact verse. It's around verse 18, somewhere in there. It says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's a command to know God's will. That's not the exception. What verse is that? Verse 17. I was close. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's a command for you to know God's will. And, you know, I'm not preaching on knowing God's will and tonight, but if I did, when I typically do that, and then I ask people that honestly do not know what God's purpose and calling for their life is to stand. Did you know out of a group this size, it wouldn't be unusual to have 80% of Spirit-filled Christians stand and say, I don't absolutely know for sure that I know God's purpose and plan for my life. And yet the Scripture says, don't be unwise, but understanding. Matter of fact, one translation says, be not ignorant, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We are supposed to know God's will. God doesn't want to just wind you up and then just see which way you go. And, you know, most people, it's kind of like you're kind of like a pinball. You just launch that thing and then it just boing, 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 bounces off of everything else. And this didn't work, so I'll go over here and try this. And this person doesn't work, so I'll divorce them, go get me another. And you just try this and you don't ever hear from God. I tell you one thing that's made Jamie and my marriage work for 36 years is the fact that God told me that this was the one for me. God put us together. We were engaged to be married before we ever held hands. God put us together. And I tell you, it makes a difference when you know that this is the person that God sent me to. It makes a difference. But there's so many people that get into marriage and they don't know that God told them to marry this person. And then when it doesn't work out and you have some trouble adjusting, well, maybe I got the wrong one. So let's just go try it again. And, you know, try 15 or 20 times. And eventually we hope that we're going to find the right one. Forgive me if I'm stepping on your toes. I'm not meaning to insult anybody, but I'm just trying to get across the point that, you know, very few people have God guide them and tell them and show them. They don't know the will of the Lord. And yet this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It says that with your brain, with your eyes, with your ears, you can understand and hear God. But the Holy Spirit reveals God to you. Old Testament man could not understand God the way that you and I can. Moses, David, Elijah, you name whoever you want. They did not have the ability to know God and to understand God's heart and to have relationship with God the way you and I have. And yet you read some of the accounts like 2 Kings chapter 2, where the prophets from three different cities came out to Elisha and says, don't you know that God is going to take up Elijah into heaven today? Hundreds of people knew it. Elijah wasn't telling anybody. He was keeping it a secret. And yet hundreds of people knew it by the Spirit. They put us to shame. And what we have is greater than what they had. It's not that they had something more than what we have. It's that they used what they had. Brothers and sisters, we aren't using it. We aren't drawing on the power of the Holy Spirit. With your mind, you can't know. But the Holy Spirit reveals these things unto us. We have access to God through the Holy Spirit in ways that people in other generations longed for the day that you and I live in. And here we are living in this blessed day where it is better to have the Holy Spirit than it is to have Jesus. And some of you are just as depressed and discouraged and wishing that you could get a fresh touch from God. Thank you for that thunderous silence. You know, this is another pet peeve of mine, but I just don't understand why people want a fresh touch. They hear about the Lakeland outpouring, and they hear about this, and they want to run over here and get this, and they're always chasing after God. And the whole time, you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. If you need to be refreshed, go to praying in tongues, and He'll build you up. Now, I'm not against you going someplace and getting something, but I'm saying that you don't have to go over there and get it over there because you've got a well of living water springing up on the inside of you. Look over here in John chapter 6, I believe it is. How many of you are thirsty? How many of you are hungry for the things of God? Look at this in John chapter 6. Jesus is saying, He said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to be led by the Holy Spirit. This teaching series was recorded at a recent Gospel Truth seminar in Kansas City, Kansas. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM229 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get four Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.